I invite you now to turn in your Bibles with me in the Old Testament to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 22. We will read from two passages this morning, the first from Proverbs and the second from the Gospel of Luke. So first from Proverbs 22, and we will read from verse 1 through to verse 6. Hear the word of the Lord. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is a maker of them all. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's as far as we read from Proverbs. Now please turn to Luke 23. Luke 23, and we will read from verse 26 to verse 31. And after the reading, we will sing from Psalter 71. Now, as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus turned to them and says, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren wombs that never bore and breasts which never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the greenwood, what will be done in the dry?" So far, the reading of God's holy word. Beloved congregation of the Lord, what would you do if you knew that you only had a few words left to speak in your life? What would you say? You'd probably say what you thought was the most important, wouldn't you? What was most needed to be said? And what was on your heart? Well, think of this. The Lord Jesus, in some of his last words that he spoke before his death, had something to say to parents. On his way to the cross even, and he stopped along the Via Dolorosa, meaning the way to the cross, to talk to mothers. In the next 15 or 20 minutes or so for Christ, he would be hanging, crucified between two thieves, and yet he took some of these last precious minutes of his life to speak to these women about their children. And if anything, simply because of the timing of these words, they should be really important to us, especially as parents, and we would do well to listen to them. So, let us focus on just one phrase at the end of verse 28. The Lord Jesus says, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children." It's this last part we want to focus on. Weep for your children. And there is one simple message here. It's simple, but really important, eternally important. In fact, for parents, there could hardly be anything more important or more weighty than these words. The Lord Jesus lumps it together even in the same breath as weeping for our own soul. He doesn't just tell these women to weep for themselves. He doesn't just urge them to be concerned with simply their own salvation, but he reminds them and he warns them in the exact same breath about the salvation of their children. Do you know what he's doing here, parents? The Lord Jesus is giving us a mandate, a parental mandate, in light of the cross. Now, a mandate is a commission, an official order for which the one who receives it is to use all their power and authority to make sure it's carried out. And that's what the Lord Jesus gives us here. He gives parents a commission, an official order, a mandate for their children. So, it's a simple message, but let's think through it. First, let's think about when it was given. Again, when is it that Jesus says these things to the women? He is on his way to the cross. That's why I say this mandate is given in light of the cross. He's on his way to the cross, and he still stops to speak to these women about the souls of their children. And not only does this add weight to these words, but it leads us to a very important observation. The work that Jesus did on the cross doesn't mean that we don't have to weep for our children. It doesn't mean that we can now assume that everything is just going to be okay with them because Jesus died on the cross, and so Christian parents don't have to worry. No, notice this. It's in light of the cross that Jesus tells us to weep for our children. Jesus gives these words as he's standing, as it were, in the shadow of the cross, knowing that the cross is about to happen. He still says, no, it's now that he says, parents, weep for your children. It's interesting. He doesn't say, stop weeping. I'm about to go to the cross. You don't have to weep anymore. It's about to be fixed. No, he says, in fact, start weeping for your children. This is a charge for us parents, the mandate. Because Jesus died on the cross, therefore, you ought to weep for your children. The cross actually gives us reason to weep because we can now have the assurance that our tears are being heard. Without the cross, if you think about it, it makes no sense to weep at all. So far from removing the need to weep, the cross gives us the need to weep for our children. And then, let's take note of, secondly, to whom this mandate was given. Notice to whom the Lord Jesus says this. It was to some women who were standing alongside the road as he made his way to the cross. And notice what he calls them. He calls them daughters of Jerusalem. So, in other words, these were covenant mothers of Israel. In that way, they were like many of us here. They were members of the covenant of grace. Their children had therefore surely received the sign of the covenant, just like ours. So this wasn't Jesus speaking to the mothers of the world who had no desire for him and calling them to weep for themselves and weep for their children. No, that's not who he was speaking to. These were mothers in the church. Mothers who were bringing their children to the temple or to the synagogues. Mothers who brought their children to hear the word of God read and taught. These were parents who perhaps thought that this was all they needed to do. That simply all the religious ceremonies that their children were surrounded by as they grew up was simply enough. That was all that was needed to save their souls. Simply like osmosis, their hearts would soak it up and just be changed. But it's to these religious parents, these covenant parents, that Jesus stops and says, weep for your children. Dear covenant parents, church-going parents, this is us, these women. We shouldn't let the significance of this pass us by. But it's not that the Lord Jesus wants us simply to weep outward tears for our children, or even tears over whatever trials and troubles might happen to them in life. No, that can't just be it. Life is difficult, but it's only temporary. He surely wouldn't have used one of the last opportunities to speak about that. He must mean this, that parents, as long as you're unsure of your children's salvation, as long as they are on the way to the end of their life without safety, without a covering for their sin, you ought to be weeping over their eternal salvation. He's telling you and me, our children are worth our tears. We cry over many things, don't we? But do we cry over this? Have you ever cried over your children's salvation? Because Jesus died on the cross, those tears are so valuable. So, it was given on the way to the cross to these women, daughters of Jerusalem. Now, third, who spoke these words? It's the Lord Jesus who says to these women, "Do not weep for me, but weep for yourself and for your children." Why? Why not weep for me? Why did he say that? He's the one going to the cross. But he says, "Don't weep for me, weep for your children." Why would he say that? Because the Lord Jesus had everything within him to be able to bear the judgment of God. But our children don't. They don't. Not within themselves. Not on their own. And we have nothing within ourselves as parents to protect them. This is of the utmost importance then. Our children don't need us primarily to give them an allowance or to take them on memorable family vacations or to help them through college or anything like that. What they need most is for us to stand by Jesus and the cross and weep for them. They need our love and our tears. There is nothing they need more than Christ, and our love and our tears will lead them to Christ. That's our prayer. The rest we do for them is all secondary. But how easily don't we forget their souls? We can forget as we raise our children and really all the work that is involved that our children have an eternal destination. Weep for your children, Jesus says. Now, the Lord Jesus is not saying that our tears save our children. God alone saves them. And he has to save them, just like he saves any person, which is through the blood of the Son that he shed on the cross. And that redemption that Christ earned is applied to them only by faith. So they have to trust and believe on Jesus. And yet, the Lord Jesus is implying here, isn't he, that our tears as parents can yet be a means that he is pleased to use to stir his heart in some way to save our children. That's the implication here. He wouldn't tell us to weep for our children only to later say to us at the end of our life, I didn't actually mean that it would work. No, he would never say that. He wouldn't say it unless he meant it. Our tears won't earn their salvation, but parents, tears are still of great value. Psalm 34:6 says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard." Weep for your children, Jesus says. And then also, because it is the Lord Jesus who speaks these words, that means this is a God-given mandate. That is, these words are a command. He commands your tears, Dad. He commands your tears, Mom. He's telling us tears must be shed. Weep for your children. And this command brings us back to ourselves, doesn't it? And to these words also, weep for yourself, because we, even as Christians, Christian parents who love our children, so often struggle to follow Christ's commands like we ought. We're slow and lethargic oftentimes with spiritual matters. And that's exactly what this is, especially because it's commanded of us by Christ. Weeping for our children is a spiritual matter. How urgently we ought to be crying out to God for ourselves then. Parents, that he would give us tears for our children. Time is short. Time is so short. Our children grow up before we know it. We ought to be weeping tears of need, tears of pleading, tears of pleading upon the blood, not basing our pleading upon our tears, but tears that naturally flow as we plead upon the blood of Jesus Christ out of love for our children, that God would work savingly in our children. And that leads forth right into us thinking about the importance of these words. Stop and think what it is your children possess, parents. A soul, an eternal soul. The Lord Jesus was almost at the cross where he was doing soul work. Work where he would give his life to redeem not just people, but people with eternal souls. Eternal souls were on his mind when he spoke these words. He was seeing the never dying souls of these women's children. Parents, we need to look at our children in the same way that Jesus does here. That our children are not only have a body that we are to feed and clothe and take care of, but they have a never dying soul inside that little body. Teach them this. Teach them that death is not the end of life. It's only the end of life in this world. There is eternity after to come. We will, all of us, exist forever. Parents, when you look at your children, look at them with these eyes and see them as never dying souls. Teach them this and talk to them about this. As someone once said, from the minute you occupy yourself with them in the morning to the moment you lay them down to sleep at night, teach them, train them up in the light of eternity. My dear friends, that is why it is so important when we cannot be with them during the day that they are taught in a Christian environment. Do you make this of the utmost importance? Are they in Christian schools? Are they sitting in the Sunday school room or in catechism classes? And know, as you do this, that there is a soul to be gained or a soul to be lost. And it's not pleasant, but think of what is to come if your children are not saved. If they are not in Christ, not covered by the blood of Christ, they will stand before God on the day of judgment. Will they be ready? Will they be prepared? Dr. Joel Beakey says this: can you bear the thought of your children being cast out as dry wood in the day of judgment? What a thought! To have our children to go lost forever, and that in the face of parents who are tearless, effortless over their souls. And if you have not cared for their souls when you had the opportunity, they will have reason to accuse you before God and point their finger at you. This is why the Lord Jesus says here in verse 29, for indeed the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed. Think about what he's saying here. He's saying husbands and wives will be happy if they never had children. And he's saying this knowing how much of a trial and heartache it is for couples to be barren, knowing the tears they weep over that. But he's still saying, no, it's better to be barren. Why? Because when the judgment comes, it will be better to not have children than for them to go into a never-ending eternity without Christ. It would be better to have never experienced any of the joys of motherhood than to have souls under your care that you never truly cried over, who on that great day will be lost forever. Do you sense the importance of these? Weep for your children. Do you see why Jesus uses some of his last words to say this? Our children have souls that must be saved, or else they will be lost. Now again, that doesn't mean that we are responsible to save them. They will be accountable to God on their own. But he says we have reason to weep over them and plead for them. Make them ready as much as you can. Make them ready to see God. Dear parents, have you ever wept a true tear for your children, that God might save them and keep them and make them his own? If you don't do this, there is nothing more important than you doing this now. Quit your job even. Bankruptcy is nothing compared to losing your children. Cut out whatever in life stops you from having the time to pray and to weep for them. Really, in the end, you cannot take your house, your money, or anything with you. But your children, you can. They will stand there on the day of judgment. Do you see, parents? The Lord Jesus is giving us a mandate here, a weighty one, an important one, one that has lasting eternal effects, and would to God that we would hear it. Would to God that we would listen and obey it. Jesus says, weep for your children. Weep, he says, for your children. Now, let me say something to the children. Children, it's interesting, isn't it, that some of the last words the Lord Jesus Christ spoke were about you? He took the time here, just before he was nailed to the cross, to speak about you, children. He was about to be hung on a cross. He was almost there. Maybe he could already see the hill from a distance. But his thoughts and his heart, children, were concerned about you. The good news of Jesus dying on the cross to pay for our sin isn't just for adults. It isn't just for grown-ups. It's good news also for you, children. And boys and girls, think of what Jesus tells your parents to do. He tells them to cry for you. Imagine your parents crying. They don't cry a lot, do they? Babies cry a lot. If you have a baby brother or a baby sister, boy, they can cry a lot. But parents, not so much. But that means if they do, then you know, don't you? It must be pretty important. Well, Jesus tells your parents to cry for you. Think of that. Your mom and your dad crying over you. You know what that means? It means that you must be pretty important. And you so are. You are loved and thought of more than you could ever imagine. You have a soul that will live forever. But to live happy forever with God, you need to have your sins forgiven you. And that can only happen when you trust and believe in Jesus Christ and you ask him to save you. And that's why it's so important that the Lord Jesus tells your parents to weep in prayer for you. But do you know what the wonderful thing is, children and parents? God hears us when we cry. There are many, many places in the Bible that tells us so. And he answers prayers. He is strong to save, and he wants to save. That is why, after all, Jesus is here, isn't it? On the Via Dolorosa, on his way to the cross, to save sinners such as you and me. Oh, parents, it's an incredible, weighty thought, isn't it? When we stop and think about the eternal souls of our children and our responsibility. But we can bring them before God, and he can lift this weight off of us, and he can save them, and he can even give us evidence, show us fruits of their salvation. And then, what a joy it is for those parents who have been weeping and pleading for their children to see them safe and secure in the arms of Jesus. Oh, parents, this is a weighty, weighty responsibility. But we have a God who is strong to save, and he can carry any weight and any burden and make it seem light. Weep for your children. He doesn't say save them. He says weep for your children. He is a savior, and we are to weep. Amen. Let us now close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that this might be a message of joy, even if it pricks the hearts of parents this morning. We pray the end result may be joy. Yes, we do pray, and myself as well, as we think of how little we think of the eternal, never-dying souls of our children. But we are grateful and rejoice when we think that God is strong to save. He is able to save. And Christ here gives this command as he is on his way to save, on the cross, which means it is a command that has purpose. It's not a useless task, no. Indeed, it can be some of the most important things we ever do as parents, to stop and weep for our children. Oh Lord, save our children, each one of them. May none of them go lost. May the gospel go out to children who have moved away, and we think never hear it again. We pray that your almighty, providential word may still reach them and do a mighty work, we pray. And may we as parents never shorten the arms of Christ by thinking our grown-up children who have left the church cannot be wept for anymore. For we know you can save the most hardened heart. We thank you again for Jesus who gave his life on the cross so that sinners such as us might be saved. Go with us now, we pray, and bring us back in due time to hear your word once again. We ask this all in the complete forgiveness of all our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.